Dear brothers and sisters, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers, and all children of God who attended the worship online, this is the 39th lecture on Genesis. I'm going to tell you about the creation works of the fifth day. How do you feel when listening to the creation work of the God the Almighty? A grown-up man and a child have a great difference in their knowledge and the wisdom. There's a huge difference in the knowledge of a biology between a biology doctors and a first grader. Then how much different the knowledge and the wisdom are between God the Creator and the man who is a mere creature? The depth of the knowledge and the primary schooler has a not even close to that of the doctor. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of the God is stronger than man. There's no foolishness in God, but I feel for Father God who expressed it this way, using the expression foolishness. Isaiah chapter 55, 8-9 also says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my way higher than your way, and my thought than your thoughts." Within the boundary of a man's knowledge, there's a limit to understanding of the creation work of God. It's like difficulties an elementary school student feels as he reads a specialty publication in the biology. However, let's suppose that this elementary school student uses all this knowledge as he tries to explain this professional book on biology. When he explains the figures in the book with his thought, the explanation will not be correct. The explanation of the child would appear amusing to the professor. Unfortunately, this is what's happening. Many think and say like the child. For example, they collected the pieces of knowledge and came up with a hypothesis about the origin of a life. They should have believed that God created all things, but they didn't like the idea of putting God in their hearts and created the absurd theories. God the Creator cannot help but feel sorry for such a people. It's like a doctor feeling sorry while listening to the kid. If you read the Job in the Bible, you can find the process how a man named Job broke his self-righteousness and the framework, and how he came to have a reverent fear of God from the depth of his heart. Especially in the Job chapter 38-41 is found the word of God spoken by God himself to God. To Job to help the Job realize the truth. God talked with Job about the amazing work of the creation which cannot be understood with the knowledge and the wisdom of a man. Through the creature of his own creation, such as a mountain goat, a wild donkey, and the ostriches, a horse, and a hawk, God tried to help Job realize the limits and the ignorance of human beings. As Job listened to these words of God, he finally knelt down before God. He realized how foolish he was to try to argue with God who is omniscient. So Job of chapter 42, 1-3 said, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsels without knowledge? Therefore, I declare that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know.'" I hope that among those who hear this word, that there's not a single person who obscures a reason with ignorant words. You should not judge the creation works of a God within the framework of your own knowledge. You are becoming truly wise as you re-establish your knowledge with the Word of God as the standard. These Genesis lectures are given by God who accomplished the creation work. Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that you may from the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of a God who created you as written in Colossians chapter 3:10. Dear brothers and sisters, God created the living creature in the waters and the birds on the fifth day of a creation. Genesis chapter 1:20 says that God said that let the waters teem with the swarms of living creatures. Now, what do these waters refer to? I said that there was a sign that appears on the earth as the sun was created on the first day of the creation. These signs can be canalized into two atmospheric phenomena and geological movements. As a result of this, waters could be found in the dry land as well. It was possible because the sea waters were evaporated by the heat of the sunlight and arose from clouds. Additionally, due to geological movement, mountains and the valley were formed. The rain from the sky from the streams as it flowed along the valleys. Additionally, water absorbed into the ground become a groundwater, and the water accumulated in the depression in the terrain, large and the small puddles were created. In this way, water exists in the various forms, not only this sea, but also on land, and this is expressed as waters in the text. By the way, God said that let the waters teem with the swarms of living creatures. As the waters exist not only in the seas but also in the land, living things could finally multiply in the waters. Psalm chapter 104:10-13 says, He sent the first springs in the valley. They flow between the mountains. They give a drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heaven dwell. They lift up their voice among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper climbers. The earth is satisfied with the fruits of his work. Because there's water on the land, as given by God, the various animals can live there and all things are filled with life. As you can see, waters are most important for living things to survive. This earth, where you and I live in the model, fashioned after the kingdom of heaven, there's a river of water of life in heaven. This water of life flows from the throne of God and the circles of heaven from the New Jerusalem to paradise. All the things of the heaven can also become full of the energy thanks to the water of life that originated from the throne of God. When creating the earth, God let the water of life flow into the earth and made it the source of the waters. In addition, as He created the living things on the earth, He made them unable to survive without water. God made all living things to be provided with the essential elements for their survival from the waters. In other words, God put into the waters a power that can maintain life. It is the same in the spiritual sense. Just as no living things can survive without water, a man with a spirit, soul, and body should be provided with a spiritual water to survive. The spiritual water refers to the Word of God, which enables you to receive the eternal life. That's why in John chapter 4:14, Jesus said, But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water spring up to eternal life. The water that our Lord gives us refers to the Word of God. Here, a well of water springing up to eternal life is generally refers to the water of eternal life. The words of God became a flesh and came to this earth. This is our Jesus. Therefore, the words that Jesus spoke were all the word of life. Human beings cannot live an eternal life without this word of life, water of eternal life. Without it, after this momentary life on the earth, they will fall down to hell, which is eternal death. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 mentions that the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through the faith which is in Jesus Christ. Since people have a spirit, they can attain this eternal life only when they are provided with a spiritual water, which is the Word of God. So people are the spiritual creature, so they can live with the Word of God, the water of life. And no matter how many things of the world a person may possess, he will feel empty in his heart when he has no Word of God in him. No matter how high his position becomes in the world, without the Word of God, he will still feel only vanity in his heart. No matter how much knowledge he has stored up in this world, he will still have unanswered questions in his heart without the Word of God. If you feel frustrated while listening to this sermon now, it means that you do not understand it from a spiritual perspective and only understand it from a fleshly perspective. The source of all the problem of a man lies with the fact that they don't have the spiritual water, the Word of God. As a being with a spirit, men were created from the beginning of to survive only when provided with a spiritual water. Therefore, you should search for the solution of every problem in the Word of God. I hope you will long for the Word of God just as a deer pants for water, and that you will make a bread of it. Dear brothers and sisters, in Genesis chapter 1, 20, God said, "Let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." The open expanse of the heavens refers to the physical sky, the atmosphere, which is visible to your eyes. Thanks to the work of the creation on the fourth day, the atmospheres have become so stable. God made the atmospheres adequate for living things to breathe, and then He created the birds after their kinds. And now God said to fish in the Genesis chapter 1, 22, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas." You can find here that there were already many seas as the living creatures were created, as God let the waters gather and the dry land appear. There was one sea and one body of a dry land. The seas were formed around the North Pole, and the dry land was intact in the South Pole area. However, after the sun, the moon, and the stars were created the first day, the earth begins to move by itself and the signs begin to appear. Then the earth, once a single land mass, began to split and divide into the several pieces due to the combined forces of the sun and the moon. On the first day of the creation, the seas were already divided into the many seas. To have a multiple seas, the land should first be divided into the many pieces. But this work of the creation took place in such a short period of time between the first and the fifth day of the creation. The land which was originally one was split into many pieces. Some of them came apart from the land and became the big island. Due to this, multiple seas came into the existence. Scientists said that this work took place over a period of 10 of the millions of years. However, God said that much of this work took place over a period between the first and the fifth days of the creation. If you ride the flow of the spiritual time within the spiritual space surrounded by the original light, anything is possible in a short amount of time. Since you've heard of a spiritual world and experienced it clearly, you can just believe and say amen to this sermon. However, those who do not have such a thought and the knowledge cannot say amen because the spiritual things do not match their thought and the knowledge, just being puzzled. But because you believe, you say amen. How many times have you sensed such incomprehensible signs and wonders? You will continue to see them in the future. You always see them. By the way, the look of the lands and the sea of the fifth day was not the same with that of the day. Just the basic framework was prepared for the form of the current five oceans and the six continents. During the 6 days of the creation, God established the basic framework on which the best environment could be made for the human beings. The basic frames have changed unnoticeably little by little over a very long period of time and came to have the look of today. That's why the living things were not greatly affected by it. It may sound strange that such a great creation took place in just four or five days, but you will understand because you've already learned about the movement of a spiritual space. And this is truly easy for God. This means that light that would take several light years or several hundred light years to reach Earth can arrive in an instant if riding a movement of the spiritual space. In the space of a spirit, the flow of a time is fast, slow, or stops. In the spiritual space, time can be freely controlled. If the land had been split or moved greatly after the work of creation was finished, what would have happened to the living things on the earth? It would have been difficult for them to survive the rapid changes in the environment. For example, penguins live in the cold polar region. Most monkeys live in a tropical areas near equator. Each animal has a niche and needs a proper climate and the environment to live. It's the same with the living creatures that live in the seas. You can confirm that the fact that different kinds of fish are caught according to the different temperatures of these sea waters. Even for the same species of a fish, the taste and even the name are different depending on which sea it comes from. Something is
on edge of my tongue. It's called a yellow curvina. Yeah, Yongguang curvina, so-called gulbi, is famous in Korea. Like this, the species is diverse depending on where it comes from.
Sokcho.
In South Korea, Yeongwang Kurvina is caught at the sea around the Sokcho. Likewise, all the animals and the plants have their own proper environment where they live. And the basic frame of the lands and the seas which provide a proper living environment for living things was already finished before the creation work of the fifth day. Dear brothers and sisters, Genesis chapter 1:21 says, God created the great sea monsters and every living thing that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kinds, and every winged bird after its kind, and God saw it was good. God first created the proper living environment for the living things, and He created the animals after their kinds in each living environment. In other words, God gave the ability to survive in a given environment to each and every animal. The animals that God created in the beginning didn't have evil. It's because they were created at His word in His power. And thus there was no such a thing that the stronger animals preying on a weaker one. They didn't fight, bite, or kill each other. According to the law that God established, they didn't harm each other but stayed in peace. It was the same with the animals on earth which were created on the sixth day. Neither the animals crawling on the ground nor the birds flying in the sky nor the fish in the water preyed on other animals. In other words, there was no carnivorous animal. However, as this land becomes stained with evil, some of the animals also change through the evil. Most of the animals came to a proper meat diet. They became predatory carnivores. By the way, once a millennium begins after the 7 years great tribulation, the entire living environment on the earth will be recovered back to the state of the days of the creation. And animals will also become so gentle without evil. Isaiah chapter 11, 6-9 mentioned about this. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopards will lie down with the young goat, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will prey by the hole of the cobra. So at the time, almost animals will eat the plants, and the wind child will put his hand on the bifurcated stand. They will not hurt or destroy in my holy mountains, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. This word is about the millennium kingdom, but when God created the animals in the beginning, they were like this. When God created the earth in the beginning, there was no evil, and thus it was a truly peaceful and beautiful place. Dear brothers and sisters, the majority of animals that God created have a unique instinct in common. That is the homing instinct. The homing instinct is the inherent ability of an animal to navigate towards an original location, which is either a home territory or a breeding area. For example, in a house in a rural area, swallows come in spring, nest under the eaves, breed, lay eggs, and the chicks grow and leave. The next year, the young swallows return to the house where they were born. Swallows are migratory birds that come north to Korea for the summer and they leave in the fall for the winter. On the other hand, wild geese come to Korea for the winter and go back north for the summer. They put the eggs of the migratory birds hundreds of kilometers from their mother's bird's nesting site. However, the birds which hatched from these eggs also flew in the same direction when the time came. People confirm that migratory birds don't learn the migratory routes of travel from their parents, but they know it instinctively. There are some fish which have this homing instinct. An example of such a fish is the salmon. Generally, salmon hatches in the river and they go to the ocean and they grow up, and then they swim back to the river where they were born. Three to six years after they go into the ocean, they fully grow. Then they swim back to the river where they were born to the lay eggs. In the case of the Atlantic, the salmon, they go back to the sea after spawning and then return several times. When a way to the ocean is blocked, some of them adapt themselves to the fresh water as well. Except for some of these special cases, most salmon migrate back to the place where they were born and die there. How do salmon, after years of sailing the vast ocean, find exactly where their birth river is? Why do they go upstream against the strong currents to find the place where they were born? They come swimming such a long and arduous distance. Instead of laying eggs comfortably nearby, they return to the place where they were born. There's research that when their homing rate was greatly decreased, when the smell of a river was artificially changed, or their sense of a smell was paralyzed. If it is true, it's amazing that salmon don't forget but remember the smell of a river where they were born, even after living in the ocean for years. But this study also lacks credibility. It makes no sense to come here when they smell the river water that eventually flows into the sea. This homing instinct of the salmons or migratory birds is not the result of the evolution, but God gave it to them. God created all things that can live as animals, insects, and birds, even insects big and small. If you look at the wild dogs, They are separated from their mothers or fathers after they are born. The pups stay with the pups. They've never educated from their parents. And they just live separately without their mother and father. They've not. However, as the dogs grow up, they still show the same instinct that their fathers had. When a male dog grows up, he starts to mark his belongings. This is his territory. He walks around and marks here and there in the fence of the house. If another dog is locked up, he will go to that house and mark his territory. The dog is that locked up will bark a lot because he's upset, but it doesn't matter why. Because that dog is locked up, he will walk around the house all the time. He will mark all of the places as he walks. They never taught by their parents. But the male dogs mark their territory like this way. If a stronger dog appears and he feels that he can't handle it, then he lies down unconditionally and raises his legs. That's a sign of the surrender. Any dog, they've never been taught. It's just instinct. In this way, animals instinctively know how to act without their language, and they naturally adapt to situations without being taught or educated. Now, God also gave this homing instinct to human beings. Thanks to the seed of the life that God planted into every man, everyone has a heart that longings for the eternal place. The seed of life is a small portion of God's original light, so the seed of life makes a human being seek God and longing for heaven. At this seed of life awakened to be guided by the Holy Spirit, we can precisely go back home like Salmon. However, the soul whose seed of life doesn't wake up will be incited by the enemy devil and Satan and eventually fall down to the hell. Hebrews chapter 11, 16 says, "But as it says, they desire the better country, that is the heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." A mere creature like a salmon can overcome the rough journey of going up a stream of a river to go back home. What about the children of a God like you? You can diligently march on towards New Jerusalem where God the Father, who is the origin of your spirit, can't you? If you don't give up on yourself, but receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit along the way, you can surely reach New Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit leads us to the New Jerusalem, the better New Jerusalem in heaven. All you have to do is obey. If you just obey the Holy Spirit, you will go to the heaven. If you don't obey, you will be slow and may not be able to go there. If you disobey, you will go to hell. Like a salmon swimming against the currents, the river, I pray in the name of the Lord that all the saints may joyfully and happily go to where our Father God is following the flow of the Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, God has also arranged everything so that we can come to His hometown in this way. Though the sea of the life, you always thought about your hometown, you looked up at the sky and thought, oh, there's an afterlife. There must be God the Creator. Even though no one taught you this, this is something in your heart since you were young. And so that when the time comes, we can return our hometown, just as Salmon returned their birthplace to Laax. God provided our true Lord, Savior Jesus, so that when the time comes, we too can be guided to heaven. And He also gave us the Holy Spirit that we can be guided by the Holy Spirit and return to home, our heaven, our original hometown. But some of you reject it. Even though you learn and hear that you obey God's word and you go to heaven, even be better a place than New Jerusalem, but we humans reject it because of our evil. This evil was planted by the enemy devil. This is what I mean. So people reject a good way while being controlled by the enemy devil and Satan. So that means that we commit sins, so knowing that they are sins. We should naturally go to heaven according to the instinct of the homing that God desires. And He sent us the Holy Spirit to guide us to the heaven, but we reject and disobey, and we are controlled by the enemy devil and the, Satan, and we ending up going to hell. God's word is accurate. It is as God says, God opens the way so that we can go to heaven, but we reject it. So we go our own way and do what we want, so we cannot go to heaven. If you only say amen and yes and obey, you can go to the best heaven, the New Jerusalem. We should recognize that this principle well. We must understand this spiritual principle very well. Let me conclude it. I explain a part of the work that took place on the fifth day of the creation. As the atmosphere and the waters become stable to build a good environment for the survival of living things through the creation works on the first day, God created the birds in the air and the fish in the waters. God put His power and the divine nature into them and created them after their kind so that they could survive in the given environment. The Bible, whose author is God the Creator, clearly mentions that they were created after their kind. But evolutionists don't believe this work of the creation. In this next lecture, I will show you logically how contradictory their claim is and how groundless their theories are. I will also explain what is a great sea monsters are Genesis chapter 1:21 and why God has it recorded and separated from other fish. Dear brothers and sisters, the God who manifested such amazing works of creation in the beginning is our spiritual Father. Since He created us, He becomes our physical Father as well. I hope you all have the spiritual pride that God the Creator is our Father through these Genesis lectures. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that being worthy of a child of such a Father, may you quickly become His true child who is good and able with no form of evil.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.